Happy Holi!
Holi, it's the spring event that's also called Hinduism's Festival of Love, when colors are thrown on everybody in mischievous fun and affection.
Happy Holi to Rachel.
Smells of roses.
There I was getting covered in fragrant pink color at the Glenhaven Community Centre in New South Wales. Welcome to Young, Single and Spiritual, the first of a three-part series broadcast last year on the Spirit of Things. I'm Rachel Kahn and this is RN Summer. In this program called The Colours of Love, Young, Single and Hindu, you're about to meet an emerging Bollywood star, young professionals, a youth leader, and some university students.
Neil.
My name is Parth.
Juhi.
Arjun.
Well, it's great talking to you. You're all green. Green and yellow and pink. How often do you go to holy events?
This is actually my second one.
This is actually the first one, like, as an event. Otherwise, normally it's just with family every year, yeah.
Juhi, how about you?
It's my first time in Australia, but I've done it back home a couple of times.
How is it different?
Much more wilder, I'd say.
Back home?
Yeah, we've got these things that we call permanent colours, and they don't actually wash out for the rest of the week. And you go to school half pink, purple and yellow. Pretty cool. Yeah. And there's water balloons when you're walking on the street, just being popped on you by random people. And you do that to people as well, so it's pretty fun.
And Arjun, how about you?
This is my first time.
Your first time?
Yeah. I don't even know much about these events before, actually. So Juhi here was mentioning it, so I decided to come along and drench her in colour. So that's always fun to do.
What do you like about Holi?
The whole feeling of coming together and everyone celebrating. My love comes from back home where everyone, Muslim, Hindu, doesn't matter what background you're for, everyone just comes together and enjoys. And just that feeling of togetherness is what I love about it. And the feeling of family and love and happiness, joy.
Parth, how about you?
I just like getting people wet and drench them in colours. That's the main part of it.
So you love being mischievous?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, I guess Krishna was like that, right?
Yeah, that is correct, yeah.
Neil, how about you?
I enjoy the colours, to be honest. That's what I really like about it. You're celebrating life in that sense, I guess.
Is it a good excuse for young people to get together?
Oh, yeah, it's loads of fun, especially because there's always one person in the group that's going to get picked on. In this case, Juhi here. But it's fun. It's a good way to, like, be with friends and just interact. Instead of your normal, oh, let's go to the movies or something, it's a good annual event to do.
I see a lot of parents here with children. Do your parents approve of you being involved in Holi?
Oh, yeah, they're really happy with me because anything that's sort of cultural, they're always on board for that.
Come back to Neil, Parth, Juhi and Arjun. But in the meantime, you might be wondering why Hindus throw color at Holi. It goes back to the ancient legend of Lord Krishna. He was in love with the fair-skinned Radha, so his mother gave him some advice to smear Radha with color. At the Holi festival, single men and women of all ages were mingling with families and children.
My name is Arunesh Seth and came to Australia 10 years ago and enjoying my Holi festival today, and you can see me colored and all.
Arunesh, what do you like about the Holi festival?
Oh, it's a traditional festival coming thousands of years ago. We've been celebrating this, and the best part is that everybody is colored in color. Like, there is no him, her or any big, small, or everybody is in color, and we have feeling of oneness, and which is unparalleled. So we are enjoying it.
What about the theme of romance?
Yeah, look, it's based on romance. Lord Krishna used to play with his gopis in Vrindavan. It's celebrated like a big color festival, and people are so enthusiastic. If you happen to visit in Vrindavan Holi, look, you won't come back from there, I'm sure. And you'll have very long, long memories for that.
As a single man, have you ever found romance in a Holi festival?
Look, Holi festival itself is a romance. It has got romance in itself because it has got colors in it. And those colors are our colors of our life. The colors start from our soul and they come on our bodies. It's a romance. It's everything. You can see girls, boys doing, you know, all sort of things, all legal sort of things. But look, we are in great mood and enthusiasm, and we are enjoying each other. So this is the romance.
As a single Indian man who's only been here 10 years, is it easy to find love and romance?
No, it's not very easy to find. If look, we have got, when we come from India, we got different parameters, you know, and so it takes a little bit time to find a true one. So we need to find something which is very close to not only heart, but we have got some soul relationship. So look, I'm on lookout, but look, hopefully everything will go well.
Tell me about the traditional parameters that are important for you.
Look, traditionally in India, we are a very much cohesive family people, like not only in family, but our society is very cohesive. And like in Western culture, like we have 365 days of mother and 365 days of father. That way, whatever we try to find is somebody who not only respects our parents, but makes us to respect their parents. And we try to go into a family kind of culture rather than a single unit family. Though we come from a very flexible kind of arrangement as far as families are concerned, but values do matter. And I believe those values are strength of our culture, and those values, you know, take us throughout our life, you know, towards success or peace of mind or religion or whatever is connected with the human being.
Ideally, is marriage actually arranged by parents or not?
Yeah, look, in India, as far as I have seen in my lifetime, people have gone through many cycles. Like earlier, it was arranged marriage. In different areas, you have different kind of marriages happening. In certain areas, even today, boys haven't seen girls and their parents just organize their marriage and they get married and they keep each other for whole of life and they are living like that. But in some areas, like in metros, they tried different marriage arrangements, like the love marriages went on, then some years ago, I heard that live-in arrangements have entered into Indian society, but that has failed dramatically. So now, again, I listen that arranged marriages are the key word in India. So that's very good that boys and girls, you know, they obey their parents and they show respect to their parents who have given them everything in life. So this respect they would carry to their children. So because they have respected their parents and now their kids will respect them, seeing them respecting their own parents. So this will give a very cohesive kind of setup in Indian society. So marriages, yes, love marriages are there, definitely. Parents don't interfere in your life if you want to go to love marriage. Living relationship, people have tried that, but that setup has failed in India.
What would be the ideal for you? What are you hoping for?
I'm more than happy that I meet somebody and I can talk to them and I can meet their parents and she can meet my parents. And if we have something in common, we can adapt each other. Yeah, definitely. Why not? I don't care about nationality or any kind of stuff, but the base of any relationship is respect, so that should be there.
But you are a follower of Lord Shiva, so religion is certainly important
for
you.
No, look, Lord Shiva, it doesn't say anything about the relationship. And even in Hindu religion, there is nothing about caste or, you know, religion or anything. Hinduism is not about a religion itself, it's a way of life. So we live the way everybody lives, and Hinduism teaches us about adaptation. Wherever we live, you know, wherever we go in India or abroad, we adapt that place. And we try to give our culture of peace and prosperity and cohesiveness to that society. So this is where we come from. And our idea of religion is not boundaries, it is limitless.
How have you adapted your life being here 10 years in Australia? Have you had to do much adaptation or not?
Look, Australians, to be very honest, when I came to Australia, the first question in my job interview was asked me, how do you compare India and Australia? That was a very tricky question on third day of my arrival in Australia. But my answer was that Australia is beautiful, but India is colorful. So it's an adaptation between two similar societies who are just separated by physical distance, not with the spiritual distance. And there are a lot of common values. And one of my key passion in Australia is to bring both cultures and societies together. And I'm heading an organization which is working towards Australia-India integration. Look, I'm very happy that I've come to my second home, which is first home now to me. And I'm loving living here.
Are you hoping to find love at the Holi festival?
Look, I'm trying. I'm trying, but definitely I've found the love for color and love for oneness at this place. And I'm very happy and hopefully all goes well.
Things were going pretty well But I wondered whether Arunesh's comment about marriage having a lot to do with parents was quite as true for young Hindus who were born and raised in Australia. That was one of the questions I asked Juhi Mittal, a senior consultant for a recruiting firm, when I found her at the festival.
Juhi, how many holy festivals have you attended?
Numerous. I wouldn't be able to count how many I've been to. Especially like in 1 year, there could be, you know, 3-4 functions that you would have for a holy festival.
What do you like about it?
The colours, the fact that everyone gathers around and celebrates a tradition that's been going on for centuries. But it's just a fun way to, you know, hang out with a lot of your family, friends and other friends that enjoy the same sort of culture and environment that you're in.
Is it important to you to be in touch with your culture?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I guess I've been brought up both, like I was born and brought up here, but it's also my parents are quite traditional and, you know, they like festivals like this. So I think it is important to at least touch base with your tradition, really, and your culture.
Is it hard to keep in touch with your tradition in Australia?
No, I think it's actually quite easy. I mean, we've got so many Indians around here. You've got communities that are constantly celebrating functions like Diwali and Holi. But also you've got like Indian TV, which my parents watch, so you have it always in the background. And no one's really ashamed or scared to bring out their culture, so it's pretty easy to be in touch.
Now, Holi has some very interesting themes. Can you sort of summarise what Holi means to you?
It's just a festival of colours to me. I mean, I don't know the main religious aspect of it, but it's a festival where everyone celebrates. You have a good time with everyone around you, and it's just looking at the bright side of life.
Is it a good place to meet guys?
I haven't found anyone yet, so I don't know. I guess so to an extent. I mean, if you are looking for someone from your same background, and a lot of family, friends would bring their kids along as well to functions like this. So I guess to an extent it could be a good avenue to meet people.
You say you have traditional parents, but Holi is a time when lots of taboos are broken.
Yeah, I guess so to an extent. Yeah, you would be a bit more looser, you'd be a bit more free to do and say whatever you would like.
You say your parents are traditional. Would they expect to arrange your marriage?
No, I think they clearly know that that wouldn't really work so well with me. Plus, I'm kind of really not looking at the moment. I'm kind of just enjoying my own career. And so I think they know that if I want to find someone, it'll come along later.
Is it quite challenging to parents to say you're happy being single for a while?
Yep. I don't think my parents have accepted that. So they constantly, every like party, think, you know, when are you going to get married? Hurry up and get married already. So it's part of our culture where they want the girls or the boys as well to get married as soon as possible. But at the end of the day, they know what's going to make me happy and they want the best for me.
Is it important for you to find an Indian husband?
I think so, because I'm quite ingrained in my culture and I would like someone from the same sort of background, but someone that, you know, has been brought up here, so they understand the other side as well. So yeah.
Does that make the pickings thinner?
I guess to an extent, but so many families have been here for years and years that they've got kids already that were born and brought up here, so it's not too bad. Like, from a lot of the people that I have known over the years, they would prefer to have, you know, an Indian girl that understands their family, their traditions, because it would be a bit hard. But then at the same time, I know that we've got girls that are marrying non-Indians and vice versa, and it's not a problem because everyone nowadays is quite accepting of other people's cultures, so it's not the same sort of situation that it was 50 years ago.
If you were to give advice to someone who is young, single and Hindu, what sort of advice would you give?
I guess just be yourself, you know, accept your culture, embrace it.
Is everything about your culture okay, or are there some things that you wouldn't go along with?
I definitely do think that a lot of cultures actually all over the world need to adapt and just be a bit more flexible in what their thoughts and, you know, how they act, because there are things that can be a bit frustrating that people just keep those traditions alive when they really shouldn't have been. Like, I know arranged marriages, that's something that families need to kind of just now get on board with, that, you know, people will find their soulmate, you can't just always arrange it.
Are there enough venues for young Indian people, Hindu people, to find each other?
I think so, because you have a lot of Indian festivals. The major ones that are celebrated out in the open, you've got the holy festivals like this, you've got the Valley Functions, which are held at, you know, sport arenas. So there are those, but then also if you've got a lot of Indian friends, or, you know, if you go to the movies, because you've got Indian movies that are playing nowadays as well.
Bollywood songs are very much a part of Holi. Is the Bollywood ideal of romance one that you aspire to, that kind of floating around in your life?
Happy Holi.
Happy Holi. I guess so, to an extent. I mean, everyone would love a Shah Rukh Khan in their life. But, yeah, I guess so, yeah. I would like a Shah Rukh Khan if he ever comes along.
If you were to kind of describe what qualities you see in Bollywood romance, how would you describe them? And are they distinct from, you know, what you see in Australia?
I guess what you see in Bollywood is a bit more overdramatic and a bit more colourful than what it usually is in real life. You've got people singing around trees and all of that. That clearly doesn't happen around here. But I think it's just, yeah, you've got the Indian boys and the girls that are quite traditional, but at the same time, quite modern. So they accept both sides, and they can balance both sides. And I think that's a really big quality that you've seen in the past few years in Bollywood movies that's reflected here.
Dressed in black pants and T-shirt, Juhi wasn't wearing the mandatory sexy costume of a Bollywood movie. But her point about balancing tradition with modernity is an important one, and mirrored in the life of Priyanka, a singer with her sights set firmly on Bollywood. Priyanka was the Holi Festival's star attraction at the Glenhaven Community Centre in New South Wales, where we spoke minutes before she went on. This is Young, Single and Hindu on RN Summer, the first of a three-part series first heard last year on the Spirit of Things. Find us on the RN homepage.
Well, I'm performing three songs, and I've asked to sing Bhajan, which is a spiritual song that we sing before commencing any festival, and we think it's an auspicious thing to start off with something like a devotional song.
How important is the Hindu ritual and tradition in your life?
I think it's very important because my dad is a Hindu and my mum is a Catholic, so I follow both. I get to do all the Christmas and everything like that, and then I get to do my dad's side stuff. So it's definitely, it's fun, and I love it. I love doing all the pujas and like.
Do you think there are many young Hindus like you who are sort of between traditions?
I think there are. Now that we're in Australia, we've grown. India is not the country that it used to be. We have so many different religions. Now we have people from outside coming and giving us a taste of different cultures. So I think, yeah, I mean, I have friends that are half Australian, half Indian, which is, and they look great too. The combination is fantastic.
As I can see very, very clearly. What sort of music are you singing here at Holi?
Like I said, I was singing the bhajan first. I'm a singer by profession. I will be singing my own track, as well as I'm just singing a few Bollywood numbers just to kind of get everyone involved in the Holi Spirit.
Tell me, what is the Holi Spirit for you? What do you like about Holi?
To me, it is just, from childhood, it's been the festival of colors, and you get all sorts of colors. I have been brought up here, but I did have the joy of spending Holi back home a few years. So there we go all out. We're crazy there. But here it's a bit toned down. Also, Indians have this thing where we always have our spiritual side. So we bring that into everything. And our festivals are usually based on that as well. So this is our festival of Holi is good winning over evil.
I've heard that it also has a lot to do with romance.
I'm not sure about how much it has to do with romance. I enjoy every part of it. What I know about people meeting in festivals and things like that is back in the day, men were separated from women. So when our festivals came, we all got a chance to enjoy together. Our parents are still there, you know, but I think they've just given us the opportunity to just go and go wild. It's like a party, a social event for us. So that's where people meet each other's families. Here, it's more like I meet a guy and maybe I can fall in love. But in India, back home, it's like a family consent. We require the acceptance of everyone to start a family of our own. What better way than a festival to kind of meet like-minded people? Definitely, because I mean, if two people are at the same place at the same time, clearly you have something that's very similar about you that you can connect on. As far as romance, that's all I can say. But I'm professionally a singer, so I've never really witnessed something like that, or I'm not open to that right now. Maybe that's probably the reason.
Why aren't you open to it now? And is that an unusual thing for a young Indian girl, a Hindu girl, to say that I'm single by choice?
No, not really. I think us as Indians, we get married very early, quite frankly. We do get married at the age of 24, 25, which for me, like, it seems early. Back in the day, we used to get married even earlier, which was like 17, 18, and then the years start going up. Now, we get married whenever we want. So as the age has changed, our priorities have changed. Mine is because of my profession. I don't like distractions, but I mean, I have a lot of friends that are married and they're 24 and they've already had their first kid. And Australia is the kind of place that you are allowed to, you know, do what you want, do what you feel that is right at the time. I personally don't think I'm ready. That's probably why I don't go there. But I have seen a lot of my friends be happy, even though they get married very early.
Is there any pressure on you or on young people?
I think Indian parents, they are a little different. They have certain expectations from their kids. They want certain things. You know, a guy has to be a certain way to be accepted into the family. We don't have like a specific limitation as like you can do it now or you can do it later. I have chosen that by my experiences and how I don't think I'm ready. Some people can be ready when they're 18. I know a lot of Bollywood actresses, actually an actor that I really like, and he's got married when he was 17 to his wife. I think it's just a personal preference thing. I mean, even guys getting married that early is very rare.
Would you ideally like to marry a Hindu?
I haven't decided that or haven't looked into that factor just yet. If he has all the qualities that I require in a man, maybe. I mean, it's always an open option. I don't really have a limitation as to, you know, a Hindu or a Christian. I mean, my parents themselves are an intercaste marriage, so...
Have you known friends who found their true love at a holy event?
I haven't really heard anyone kind of say that to me, but I'm pretty sure that they do. I'm pretty sure that they do. Because these events, they help Indians overseas socialize. That's our way of socializing. We like to socialize within family limitations. And like I said, there has to be an acceptance from our parents, from the groom's parents, that yes, we are okay with this relationship. Yeah, we can go forward. So I guess if you're hanging out with a guy or a girl at a holy event and your parents approve, then it's a kind of like a tick that you can go ahead, you know, maybe have a relationship with that person and see how things go from there. I guess that's a place where you can really read if your parents like them or if their parents like you. We make it quite obvious.
Well, Priyanka, being so beautiful and also a performer and being at this holy event, isn't it pretty likely that a lot of fellas will fall in love with you?
I don't personally think they would fall in love with me. I do not believe at love at first sight. I don't know. I'm not that like that. You can have an infatuation of a person instantly, kind of start liking people, but I don't think you can fall in love. Well, no one has proven me wrong yet. So until that person proves me wrong.
What about the difference between the sort of mores of a traditional Hindu family and the world of performance and showbiz?
It would be very different, definitely. We like, Hindus like their women to be very cultured. Not saying that I'm not. I love doing all my cultured stuff, but I also like doing other things. And my music is a way in which I portray myself, and I want to portray to youngsters today that positivity is a good thing as well. I mean, you go on media and you see all sorts of things. I know a lot of friends of mine who are girls, even boys, like they're good looking, but they don't feel the need that they need to be in a relationship at this point. And their families don't pressure them as well. So I think the one good thing about being brought up here is that we get to choose.
Bollywood films are so sexy, so flirtatious, so romantic. Is that part of the attraction for you?
Yes, I will blatantly say yes. That's probably why I am not in a relationship, because Bollywood has made love look so fantastic, so bright and colorful that you expect that. You definitely start expecting that from, you know, your betrothed. I don't know if men are actually like that or they hide that about themselves, but I think Bollywood definitely changes your perspective on Prince Charming. Like, it's all on a higher level. Everything's, the romance has to be here, the good looking has to be here. So I think it's a bit unrealistic sometimes, but I think it's fine.
Do you think it's quite a contrast to the way men in love are depicted in Australia? Do you think you have the advantage with a Bollywood ideal?
Probably not. I think men are like similar everywhere you go. I mean, a man is a man at the end of the day, and they have certain things that they hide about themselves and certain things that they show. They're not very affectionate. They don't display it out publicly, but they could be like that in like private doors.
What about romance? Do you think the Bollywood ideal is something that Australia needs a bit more of?
Maybe a little bit of it. Not too overboard. I mean, yeah, they could have a little bit of more colour and romance in their stuff. That would help. Yeah.
Priyanka, you're singing one of your own songs. What's it about?
My song is composed by Adesh Srivastaji, and it's a Punjabi folk song. It's a romance. It's definitely a romance. The idea is the girl's kind of telling the guy that, how can I live without you? It's the right one for this occasion. It kind of goes with our topic as well of romance during Holi.
Known just as Priyanka, you can see one of her videos by going to the Spirit of Things website and clicking the link. You're on RN Summer and Radio Australia, and this is Manju Mittal, who organized the Holi event, which attracted about 150 Indians, from babes in strollers to grandparents.
I think no event is complete without Bollywood music.
Are there special songs for Holi?
There are a lot of special songs for Holi, and our DJ will be playing Holi songs, and we are all looking forward to dancing on that.
Not everyone in the Indian community is taken up by the glamour of Bollywood. In fact, Asta Rajvanshi is a university student with a lot of communal responsibilities. She was the immediate past chair of the New South Wales Advisory Council on Youth and is an editor of the University of Sydney student newspaper, Oniswa. A media student, she aims high, and like her mother, who's trained in psychology, she mixes traditional family values with modern ones. Asta, it's great to be talking to you today.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
Asta, were you born in Australia?
No, I wasn't. I actually moved to Australia with my family at the age of 10 and completed my schooling here, and now I'm at university.
Was it a big adjustment when you were young?
It was in some ways. Now that I look back at it, at the time when you're moving and you're little, you don't really realize what's going on. But it was definitely an adjustment that we had to make. There was like a different culture, different people, different lifestyle. But in saying that, I actually really enjoyed it. And that probably was because I was a lot younger and I sort of grew into the culture as well. So,
did you grow up with a lot of Hindu immigrants to Australia around you?
When we moved to Sydney, we were in west of Sydney. There was a big Indian community at the time. At my school, I didn't really interact with a lot of Indian kids, but we had shops and restaurants that were close by in our area, so we'd go there on the weekends, so I'd get to see a lot of Indian people there.
Why didn't you interact with Indian kids at school? Was there a reason?
In my year, there was a shortage of Indian kids. compared to the other people who were there with me. And also just because India is quite diverse, so a lot of the Indian students that were there were from lots of different areas of India. There was no special factor that sort of brought us all together. We were all just very mixed in with the school community in general. So,
and how important was the Hindu tradition in your family?
Quite strong. My parents are still both very devout Hindus. My dad prays every morning and every evening, and my mum always takes the fasting period very seriously, and she'll go on a few fasts every few weeks. So, and we'll visit the temple as well quite regularly. So the Hinduism in my family is quite pervasive.
Yeah. And did that flow on to you?
It did to some extent. I have to be honest and say I'm not a devout Hindu like my parents. I sometimes go to the temple with them. I don't practice praying regularly, but I'm quite aware of the gods and the goddesses and the Hindu tradition and the festivals. So I'll take part in all of those when that happens.
And do you regard it as really a part of your life that you wouldn't want to disappear, that it's a regular part of your life?
Absolutely, because I think that I do have a quite distinct awareness of myself being Indian, and Indian culture is very rooted in Hinduism as well. So both those things kind of go hand in hand. I can't really imagine a time where I would call myself of Indian background but not associate that with Hinduism, because that's been my upbringing. So definitely it forms a strong part of my identity.
Well, what's it like for you? I mean, you are at the university now, and you're not just an ordinary student. You're the editor of Oniswa, and you're also the chair of the New South Wales Advisory Council on Youth. Now, that means you're a real youth leader. Has Hinduism in any way impeded that?
Firstly, I should clarify and say that I am the former chair of the council, that my term expired last year, but it's still quite recent. In terms of Hinduism, I don't think it's ever gotten in the way of my opportunities. If anything, it's kind of informed my decisions and my perspective on life. And I try and bring that into my work as well. So when I was president of the union at Sydney University, there was a big emphasis on multiculturalism and on promoting interfaith in our university. And so we have an interfaith week where we bring together lots of different religions, including Hinduism, and talk about them, because university is a place where students are quite impacted by ideas and faith. In terms of Oniswa, one of the articles I've recently written is about Hinduism on campus and the lack of facilities. So I think that in some way or another, even if I haven't realised it, it's kind of come in and influenced the way I've approached things, I think.
Can you tell me what are the facilities that Hindu students lack at the University of Sydney?
Sure. So currently Sydney University has a multi-faith chaplaincy centre, which provides resources and rooms and spaces for different religions on campus. So I know the Christian chaplains and Jewish chaplains often come in and have counselling sessions with students or provide spaces for praying. With Hindu students, I think in the past there wasn't a big community of Hindu students, or they just weren't very aware or interested in sort of gathering and coming together and praying. So there hasn't really been a move at the university to provide a space for Hindu students where they can come and pray. But if you look at Hinduism, people will often come together and pray to gods and deities. And to have that space, you need an altar with statues of the gods and goddesses. That's not really there at the moment because there's no room. There's also just, I guess, a lack of community spirit for Hindu students, even though there are a lot of Hindu students because of the recent rise in international students on campus as well. So,
do you think there's any animosity towards Indian students, or how does it feel to be an Indian student, particularly a Hindu student, on campus?
I wouldn't say there's any animosity, because there just hasn't been a lot of talk about Hinduism, but I definitely think there's a lack of awareness. So you can look at someone and say, oh, you might be of Indian origin, but you wouldn't know what religion they are, and you wouldn't automatically classify them as Hindu or know much about Hinduism, apart from maybe a few pop references of like Lord Ganesha or something, but you wouldn't really know much about Hinduism at all on campus.
Have there not been festivities and celebrations on campus? For example, the Holi Festival, which is certainly one that I think would attract a lot of people because so much fun.
Yeah, definitely in recent times there's been an emerging trend of Indian students getting together and celebrating. There is an Indian student society, but it's non-denominational, so it's not just exclusive to Hindu students. It also has Muslim students and anyone from any other religious backgrounds. And they are starting to celebrate Indian festivals like Holi and Diwali, but it's very recent, and I think that's why the whole spotlight on Hindu prayer rooms has also come in light.
How does an Indian student balance the professional ambitions with personal ones for finding a mate, starting a family? Can I ask you how you balance those things?
Sure. I think that in Indian families, and in particular Hindu families, there's a big emphasis on family and respecting your elders and sort of letting your parents know what's going on in your life. So I think it is very hard for a lot of students who do maybe sometimes find love or companionship in people from other cultures. And it's often been kind of like a social taboo or a barrier, and you don't really talk to your parents about it. And I don't really know how everyone navigates through that. It's quite difficult. Some Indian parents are more lenient than others. And I have friends who are Indian who are in sort of interracial relationships, and their parents are in the know. And it obviously has led for a much open and happier and honest relationship between the parents and my friends. But I know at the same time, there are other people who sort of keep this social side of their lives secret from their parents and just kind of do it outside of the family life. Because we are in a multicultural society in Sydney, it is understandable to see why this happens, because you do meet lots of people, especially at university, and you're more open to different ideas. It really just depends, like, on a family per family basis. My parents are quite understanding. I haven't yet been in a situation where I've had to have this conversation with them, but I would hope that they'd be open to that idea as well. So,
is it a possibility in your life, or do you have a very clear idea of the sort of person you want to marry?
It's definitely a possibility. I don't have any idea of the kind of person I'd want to marry yet. Definitely in my family, my parents have been open to the idea of an interracial relationship with my older brother, who had a Caucasian girlfriend for a while. Definitely with me, they're a little bit different because I'm the only girl in the family, and Indian families really value that. So I think the ideal situation would be for me to get arranged married, which is more like a matchmaking service these days, not them imposing who I should marry. But, you know, we'll see. There's still a couple of years before that sort of conversation needs to happen.
How would you feel about that? Are you open to the idea of an arranged marriage?
Yeah, at this time I'm open to really anything because I don't really think about it too much. But, you know, if I was to meet someone, that could probably change, so we'll see.
Do you know people with arranged marriages?
No one my age is currently married or in a sort of relationship from an arranged marriage, but I know people who are a few years older than me in my brother's year who have gotten arranged married and found partners overseas from Indian backgrounds or back home as well. I think that, you know, they seem to be quite happy. It's a choice that people make. It's not really imposed on you per se. And if you are coming from a very strong Hindu religious background, you're more likely to agree to getting arranged marriages as well. So,
would you see any problems with a future spouse who comes from India who might not be as open, liberal, egalitarian as people are in the West here in Australia?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if you come from a totally different background back home, which is more conservative and more grounded in Indian values, you would suffer a culture shock over here, because as most of the people my age have grown up in Indian backgrounds, they do have a much more open and liberal way of thinking about things. And if you're not used to that, it would be a hard adjustment, I think.
Do you see that the more liberal students that you associate with are having tensions or difficulties with their parents?
I would say sometimes they do. I mean, it's not just always about social life. There's also career and education, and Indian parents tend to stress a lot on that aspect of your life as well. They obviously want you to succeed. A lot of times people my age are navigating through succeeding in life and doing well in their studies, but also finding someone who makes them happy and integrating with the wider community and having that Indian background. There's lots of different things going on at the same time.
So. A lot of things, perhaps a lot more complex than many Anglo-Australians understand.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, it's not just limited to Indians. Also, anyone from a cultural background kind of goes through that experience. And especially it's in a university, there's like a predominantly white sort of culture and lots of white students, and they don't necessarily understand those cultural impositions or restrictions that might affect students of colour. So,
but what are the positive things that your tradition also gives you that perhaps Anglo-Australians don't have?
I actually take a lot of pride in being from an Indian background. So when like festivals happen, I'm really happy to get dressed in my cultural outfits and take photos and get involved in family and friends and have, you know, celebrate those traditions. When you meet students who are Indian, you have something in common and you can bond over the fact that you have similar backgrounds, and that bond isn't really found with people who are, you know, of Caucasian or white backgrounds. So I think that's a positive thing.
Asta, what are your professional ambitions?
Currently, I'm finishing my last year at university in media. So I would like to go into the media industry, but I also have done some non-profit work back at university. So I'm really open to going into either media or non-profit and government work. So we'll see how it goes.
And how do you feel about being a professional and a wife and mother at the same time? Is that something you think is perfectly doable?
Well, I'm not thinking about kids anytime soon, but definitely I think, you know, I've been reading a lot about working mothers and what companies are doing to allow that. And I think it's really important that a woman should be able to work and raise a family at the same time without society imposing anything on her or telling her that she should stay at home and not work. I think it's a choice that women have to make for themselves, and all we should do is encourage them in making that choice.
Do you think your parents would allow you to make that choice the way you want to, or do they have other ideas?
No, I think my parents are great. I've grown up to see my mum work and raise us at the same time, and she's very independent. She does her own thing whilst being a great mum as well. So they've been very, very supportive, and my dad's the same as well. So I don't think I'd ever face any of those restrictions from them.
A lot of people think a festival like Holi is a place where, you know, they can meet other Hindus. Do you think it's a good idea to go to a festival like that with the idea that you might meet your future mate? Is that a realistic prospect?
It could very well be a realistic prospect. Holi is definitely one of the festivals where you do go in and expect to meet lots of different people you might not know. It's a really fun festival. You know, throw colour around at each other. So it's all in the spirit of good fun and having fun with other people. In Bollywood movies, they often romanticise the idea of Holi as well. So lots of songs are set during Holi and, you know, couples kind of meet and have fun with each other. If you are going into a social gathering like that, you could sort of have the idea in the back of your mind. But at the same time, you can also go and just meet lots of people and have friends and have fun. So,
well, your mother's organized a Holi festival or two in her time. Do you think she would be hoping you would find a future mate at one of them?
You'd have to ask her. I don't know, but she's definitely very active in celebrating Holi, where people sort of get together and celebrate the festival, and there's dances and a dinner, and people recite poetry. It's a nice feeling to sort of get together and meet other people as well.
Do guys get involved as much as girls?
Some guys do. I have seen guys my age also come to the event, and, you know, we're friends, so it's not just girls who get involved, definitely.
That's Asta Rajvanshi, a University of Sydney student and editor of Oni Swa. You're listening to The Spirit of Things, and you can follow our conversation on Twitter, at Spirit of Things. Now, Asta showed a lot of trust in her parents, so I wanted to meet her mother, who's not only a disability educator, but is also a published poet. Rekha Rajvanshi mixes the traditional with the modern, so I asked her about the role of women. What do you think Hindu women should aim for in life?
Normally, The tradition is Hindu women feel very satisfied when they see their family doing well. So they are very much family oriented. But now in modern days, women have they have evolved their own individuality and they want to do things which would help community and themselves as well.
Does the professional ambition ever conflict with family values?
Yes, sometimes, because nowadays women are more educated, I would say, even than men, and they want to do a lot, they want to achieve a lot, they are talented, they have the ability, they are scientists, they are engineers, they are doing so many things, and they sometimes can't devote that much time as a housewife would. So yes, they might feel frustrated at times, because we know that women only can do multitasking, men can't.
So. Well, you've mentioned that even more women are going for professional education than men. Does that pose a problem for Hindu women in Australia trying to find the right sort of mate?
I would say yes, because I've got some friends whose daughters are very well, highly educated, very well educated, working very well on a good job, but they can't find a mate. Just because they are highly qualified and they need someone who is at least equally qualified, not more than them. They are 32, 34 years old and they can't find a match.
So what's the solution?
If they can find a boyfriend at an early age, like during university. Look, previously, all the mothers used to say, oh, we will find a partner for you. So girls didn't bother to look for a boy. But now, at this age, like in this century, girls are more free and parents have also understood the value of finding a companion at an early age so that they can have a better understanding with their partners. So I feel this is the only solution I can think of, giving more freedom to the girls.
So the idea being that if you find a boyfriend in the university while he is also pursuing education, higher education, you're bound to find a mate who is at your level.
Yes, I think so. And I keep telling my daughter, find someone.
Is that difficult when you're trying to find someone within your own tradition?
It's not difficult, but when girls, they normally grow up here and parents say, okay, we'll find a match in India. They say, no, they're fresh off the boats. They're phobes and they are not ready to marry Indian Indians. Whereas if they find someone here, a lot of girls are marrying Australians because they have better compatibility.
Where does that leave the tradition though?
Indians now are broad-minded. I would say even in India, a lot of love marriages are taking place, like here in Australia. I teach at Sydney universities and half my students, or they have Australian spouses. So things are changing.
Do Australian spouses then readily take on the Hindu tradition? Is it important to keep that alive, keep it active?
I think so, because yesterday I had a class at Sydney University and all of them, they wanted to know about Holi Festival.
And of course, you have put on Holi Festivals yourself.
Yes, I did.
What prompted you to take on that responsibility?
I saw many organizations celebrate Diwali festival, which is another major Hindu festival. But none of them were celebrating Holi, except a fair, Holi fair. So I decided to start having Holi festival. But our main objective was charity. So we thought people will have fun, they will know their tradition, and plus we will do some charity work.
Rekha Rajvanshi is a disability educator and the mother of Astha. This is The Spirit of Things on RN Summer, hearing what it's like to be young, single, and Hindu. Earlier in the program, we left that group of university students at the Holi Festival sitting on a bench. And it struck me that in so many Western religious events, women tend to be the enthusiasts, dragging their men along with them.
Was it the same situation for Hindus? I asked them, Neil, Parth, Juhi, and Arjun.
What about boys and girls? Do they differ in the way they take up their tradition?
I don't think so. I guess over the years, the Indian community has grown in terms of events and things like that. It wasn't that prominent a couple of years ago. So I guess that's made a huge difference to the way our generation sort of relates and enjoys and participates in these things as well.
Parth, is it important for you to keep hold of your tradition?
Definitely. I reckon because you live outside India now, it's good for you to like learn your culture like for the future generations. Otherwise, it's just going to cut off and no one's going to know about how Indian culture is like.
And you, were you born here?
I was born in India, but raised in New Zealand. And then I just moved here like 3 years ago.
Do you think your parents were pretty good at keeping the tradition?
Oh, yes. We would celebrate every single festival, Indian festival, culture, even our own religion. We celebrate everything. So I'm pretty attached to the culture, yeah.
Now, I know you talked about friends, but would you hope to find your true mate at a holy festival?
It depends. Like, I'm not actually, like, you know, planning to look for someone if it happens. It's just on the spot thing. Like, I'm not actually, like, looking for someone, you know, particular. If it happens, it happens.
And you, Neil, how close are you to the Hindu tradition?
My parents have brought me up. See, I was actually born in Australia. So my parents have brought me up, you know, to make me understand the actual Indian culture itself. So I think, being, you know, living outside of India, it's celebrated a lot differently here, and I myself would like to consider that I am pretty close to the traditions.
And you wouldn't want to lose them?
No, because in that sense, it's a part of you.
We have a newcomer here. Hi.
My name's Prateek.
Prateek, how many times have you gone to a holy festival?
Quite a few times. I try and come every year for the last 3 or 4 years. Actually, I remember Holi in India as a kid, but that was more than 15, 18 years ago, and only went once or twice. I try and come every year since 2009. I like to celebrate it. I guess it kind of keeps me back to my roots. Feels as if you're back in India, so it's good. Good to keep connected.
What do you know about the story behind Holi?
I used to know quite a bit. I used to recite it as a child, but I think I've forgotten most of it now. I know that something to do with there was a king, and actually I'm not even going to start trying. There's a big significance with fire and, I guess, loyalty. So I guess that's kind of the roots of it.
And what about the relationship between Krishna and Radha?
I have no idea, to be honest. I'm not aware.
So the Holi festival, it's about friendship. Is it also about love?
Yeah, I guess so. Why not?
Is it a good place for young fellas to meet young women?
Well, I haven't for the last couple of years, so I don't know.
Do you hope to?
No, I'm pretty happy. Can't complain.
I don't think any of us come with the sort of notion that we're coming here to find love. We all come here just to have fun and just to have a good time. Like, none of us have that sort of in the back of our minds where we're like, okay, gonna hopefully find someone today. Like, yeah, we make a couple of jokes about it, but that's probably where the line's drawn, so yeah.
Juhi was at the Holi festival with her friends, Neil, Parth, Arjun and Prateek, none of whom is worrying about finding a mate, maybe because some of them are happy to let their parents find one for them. Anyway, it sounds like among the young, single and Hindu, there are several ways to find one, but in the meantime, the Hindu festivals give plenty of opportunity to find friends, have fun and carry on the tradition. This has been The Colors of Love, Young, Single and Hindu, first broadcast last year in a 3-part series, which you can find on the Spirit of Things website. Just follow the past program's link. And while you're there, you can stream or download this program. Next time, a new biography of Jesus written by a Muslim, Reza Aslan. His book, Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth, was one of last year's surprise bestsellers, and he joins me to explain why it was so successful. That's next time on The Spirit of Things with me, Rachel Kahn, right here on RN Summer.